Now, let's return to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
We're talking about youth violence, and our guest is, for this segment, is Milwaukee Public School Superintendent William Andrikopoulos. Mr. Andrikopoulos, to what extent has the program, when it at its inception, been embraced by teachers or counselors or even school security? Because I can imagine having some sort of foreign element being introduced in school, a school population, there would be some kickback. What has been the experience in Milwaukee?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we've had an interesting journey with this conversation. I went into a high school. I went in the auditorium and was in front of a group of teachers, about 100 teachers in a high school. And you know, many of them, I think, are set in their ways. They've been there a long time. They gave me a standing ovation for bringing this program to their school and telling me how it has made a difference and how some of them feel they can actually teach again. The halls are clear. Their classrooms are better, and they can rely on the youth counselors to come into their classrooms even and assist them in a positive way working with the children. Certainly anything that is new, people are skeptical. And people, because of in nature, we don't like change. People resist sometimes anything that's new because they feel that it's either going to threaten them or it's going to have an impact on them personally. So we had to deal with our union that has the union over the safety aids because some of them felt that maybe this was going to be threatening to them. The funny thing about it is that nowhere in that conversation did anyone from the union say that the violence-free zone should be out of our schools. We said we just had to work a little bit on role clarity because they knew from the teachers firsthand how it has had a positive impact on the school climate and how it was making them feel, the teachers feel better about their relationship with children and giving them ability to go back to teaching again instead of being disciplinarians. So it has had, there was a little resistance in the beginning just because it was new, but the data and the impact on the schools is so overwhelming that the school said, we have to have this. We cannot not have this. So the little difficulty we had with the union of the safety aids, we've worked that out through good support from Bob Woodson's staff and good support from my staff and working with the union and really dealing with some of the role clarity. Once that happened, we've had no additional problems.
It's my understanding that the school security union rules prohibit them from sometimes crossing the street to break up fights and whatnot. And that can be a problem, but the violence-free zone staff also provides safe passage to and from school, from what I understand, in Milwaukee. And to what extent has that helped bring about safety in the neighborhood?
Well, that's a big important factor, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because the beauty of the violence-free zone is that this is about the community. It's certainly about the school, but it's also about the community. And what happens is, when you have a contract and you have employees working on a set time on the clock, that sometimes limits the before and after school work that can be done with children, the weekend work that can be done with children, and also what can happen out in the community. So what's happened with some of our children, they've actually gotten jobs. They've had other positive experiences out in the community because of the mentoring and tutoring that is done, even beyond the actual workday that's taking place with the youth counselors. So the role of the youth counselors is very broad, where the role of the safety assistants in our school is very narrow.
And I also know that from experience that the youth advisors have worked with local businesses to even get them to cooperate. I believe in one presentation, the youth advisors went to a local fast food restaurant and where the kids were congregating before school and being late for school and persuaded them to close down for half an hour.
You know, that's very important. What they're doing is they're identifying the hot spots. And they're identifying the hot spots and then they're trying to come up with proactive ways of dealing with it. So there's a needs assessment if violence is breaking out in the neighborhood, if violence is coming in from the neighborhood into the schools, if children are congregating in certain places. They're going out not looking at punitive ways to deal with children, but ways of being proactive and preventive so children can have safe passages, safe experiences in schools. So that's a very important part of looking at the situation, developing a plan, looking at a needs assessment, and then redirecting time or redirecting resources to make an impact positively on the children.
Mr. Andrikopoulos, what has been the impact on the academic performance of the children? Are you able to determine that at this point?
Well, we are seeing some slight gains in our 10th grade assessments scores in math and reading. I think it's too early to tell, but we do know anecdotally is that we're getting more and more children who will come to us and their report cards are up. So their GPA is improving, their attendance is improving, and when children's attendance improves and their GPA is up, we know that it has an impact on achievement. Our graduation rate is up slightly, and we think overall this will have a big impact on the long-term graduation requirements for our children. We know that President Obama is looking at a 60% college graduation rate for this country in 10 years, and certainly anything that we can do to work hard on transforming children's lives, giving them positive direction, improving school climate, is going to help us reach that goal.
And I know that Milwaukee, the police department, many years ago said they received 65,000 calls a year just to the schools. And from what you're telling me, that has greatly impacted a change in improving conditions there also.
Well, we know this. In our school system, our expulsion rate is down 66%. Now, I can't attribute all of that to the violence-free zone, but I can say that that some of that is contributed to their hard work. Our suspension rate is down 20% in the last 2 years throughout our district. In the 8 schools that the violence-free zone youth counselors are in, our suspension rate is down considerably in all of those schools. The attendance rates are up. So the data really supports a lot of what I've been saying in this last half hour and why this really is transforming our school system. In fact, another interesting piece of data, we have a school climate survey we give our children and we give our parents. The results at the high school level for our children and our parents is moving in the positive direction. We've had more parents overall say our schools are safer. We've had students who feel safer in our schools, and I think the violence-free zone has been a big part of that.
So in other words, climate surveys are where researchers or staff go in and actually ask teachers, parents, and children, what do they feel? Because certainly the fear of crime can be much more of a deterrent to participation than the actual incidents of crime.
Right. We have a survey that's an online survey that our parents, students, and teachers take. And the results of that survey, we've been tracking that over the last 2 years, is moving in a positive direction. But you're absolutely correct. If people don't feel safe when they come to work, if parents don't feel safe that their children in our school are safe, they're not going to have them in children. And certainly if children don't feel safe, learning isn't going to take place in the school because there's always that tension about safety.
And what has been the response to parents? I know that the Latino Community Center, in order to involve parents, sometimes conducts classes off-site for kids who maybe are too disruptive to attend a regular school. So that seems to be a bit innovative when you're sending a teacher to a community organization and kids are attending off-site. Is to what extent is that helpful?
Well, it's very positive because what we're trying to do is do everything we can that we're not suspending children, removing them from school, incarcerating them. So any type of alternative settings or any other type of means that we can cooperate with parents, it's the home-school connection that's extremely important. The other innovative thing that occurred at one of our schools that I was visiting, they were having a problem with graffiti. And graffiti also can be a distraction. It gets into some gang, territorial type things. So what the youth volunteers did was they worked hard with the school staff and with the children to eliminate graffiti. And in the youth counselor's room, there's cement brick blocks. And they've told the children if they want to do artistic work and they want to create positive messages, they can come in and they can adopt one of the blocks. So children are coming in, these young adults, and they're putting their own mark on the wall inside the youth counselor's room and having a chance because children today love the freedom of expression and do that in an artistic way. Well, the room is beautiful. This brick wall has all sorts of brick symbols and beautiful artwork within each one of these bricks, cement block, and the graffiti in the school has disappeared. So it shows that if you give children a positive outlet, if you direct their energy in a positive way, good things can come of it. And I think that's an excellent example where the youth counselors identified a problem, they turned it around into something positive, and got the children's cooperation, and lo and behold, the graffiti went away.
What would you say to other superintendents about the VFC program?
Wow. Well, you know, I think what I would tell them is that they need to get involved. They need to contact Bob Woodson's organization. They need to work with them to make this happen. These resources that you would spend with the violence-free zones are resources that are going to, in the long run, are reduced your security cost, reduce the police cost, and more importantly, it's going to increase the performance of your children. It's a great investment. It's an investment being proactive, and it really is an investment in transforming, I'm going to say America, I guess maybe it is transforming America, because you're really transforming the lives of children who then become our future adults and have positive influence. I can't say nothing more about praise that I can say as a superintendent in this district for 7 years now, that in the last couple of years, this has had a significant impact on the overall climate in our schools, the relationships we've had between the teachers and the students and the administrators. And my administrators, a number of them have said, Superintendent, we will not, they need to have a job, so I got to be careful what I'm saying here. But they're saying, we would not work in a school without the violence-free zone. We feel that good about that. So, This really has transformed, I think, the morale of the staff. It's reduced the stress level of our principals, and it's had a positive impact. But beyond all of that, the most important thing is it's transforming our lives of our children, our youth.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking about youth violence today with Milwaukee Public School Superintendent William Antrakopoulos. We will return in a moment with our second guest and discuss the problems facing the Chicago, Illinois school system and what can be done to reduce violence there. I'm Bob Woodson.